Well, let's turn back to Psalm 119, if you will. We've been asking the question, how shall a young person cleanse his way? And the answer is, well, how can a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed according to God's word. And we said that we need to take God seriously. And we saw yesterday what it means in some ways to take God seriously. Is to seek him with a whole heart. And we said yesterday that the heart was the intellect, the emotion and will. And that the whole heart has to be involved in seeking God. And this morning I want us to look at one verse together. And it's verse 11. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, let's open in prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning for the King, eternal, seated at your right hand. This one who is altogether lovely. And we thank you this morning that you are a God who longed to speak. And so we would ask you this morning that you would still our hearts, that you would take us beyond the sacred page, that we might see you afresh, and that your word might have free course in this place. We pray that every heart bowed in your presence would have, the word would have entrance there. The entrance of your word give light, and it gives understanding. Speak, Lord. Thy servant listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Take God seriously at his word. And then we talked on the second day, that means personally committing myself to God. It's a personal commitment. David said, or the psalmist said, with my whole heart I've sought thee. Let me not wander from your commandment. We spoke on yesterday that you don't drift to know God. You don't drift toward excellence. You don't drift toward intimacy with God. You have to take a personal commitment to all that God says. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There are many people seeking something from God. You can seek his hand without seeking his heart. You can ask God for blessings, but not want the blesser. And so the psalmist is different. He wants to know God. He wants this intimacy with God. And so this morning we want to look at a practical step. In this verse, the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here's a practical step. He said, your word, God, I've hid in my heart. If you're going to, I know some of you are playing sports or some of you are in the band or cheerleading, but you have to learn there's some practical things in order to become good in your area. Cheerleading, there's practical steps. Music. There's a practical way of becoming good in playing the trumpet or good in twirling the baton. I think you have to have some skills in doing that. But there's some practical steps. Not only do I need to desire it, I need to think through the techniques and then practice those things. If you're going to get to know God, there are practical steps. And the psalmist says, with my whole heart I've sought you. My whole heart. I've hid your word in my heart. So the first thing is, I want you to know, if you're going to seek God seriously, here's a good step that you can test yourself if you are seeking him seriously. Are you making it a personal commitment to memorize God's word? I don't just read it when I go to church or when I'm around people. No, there's times I'm going to spend in memorizing God's word. Your word have I hid in my heart. If you watch sports or you watch teams who play sport, they're timeout and then they all come to a huddle together and they talk about the plays that they're going to run. If it's in basketball or football, they talk about a play. But none of them carry the playbook on the court. Why? Because they've memorized the skill. They've memorized the play. If you're going to walk with God, the Spirit of God is going to quicken his word to your heart. But if it's not in your heart, he has nothing to quicken. So your word, God, the psalmist says, your word. So I would say to you, give yourself to memorizing God's word. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. The psalmist says, Isaiah said, in the early in the morning, I'll seek you. And so memorizing God's word is a practical step. I want to know God, and therefore I'm going to spend time in memorizing his word. With my whole heart, I've sought thee. And then he says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. But when you know what God says, it helps you to keep on God's course. And so I'm going to encourage you, if you're serious about following the Lord and serious about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will, without any person making you, you'll spend time memorizing his word. I remember with my own children, when they were young, I would spend time with them until they got a certain age. And when they would say that they've made a commitment to Christ, well, then I began to observe them. Were they spending time in the scripture without mom and dad being with them? Did they take it personally to memorize the word on their own, not when they go to Sunday school or Sunday school lesson, but was it a personal, practical passion of their own heart? So they're not walking with dad's savior, a mom's savior. They're walking with their savior. And God's word is not the word that dad and mom taught me. It's the word that God have taught me. Why? Because God's word is hid in my heart. It's a personal thing. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that Christianity is made your mom, your dad, your pastor, but it's personal. The psalmist said, that word have I hid in my heart. Your word have captured my mind. Your word is controlling my emotion. Your word is directing my will. I've hid it in my heart. Why? Why? That I might not sin against thee. Lord, that I might stay on course with thee. Why? Because your word is a, he says later on, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I would say to you, not only reverence God, but reverence his word. And you can test yourself. Am I spending time in the word of God? Not just to know what God says, but I want to know God. And I want to know him so well that I can be walking without the Bible, but he can quicken a truth to my heart. And so the psalmist will say, Lord, thy word, that I might not sin against thee. And so there, and what does it mean? Well, if you're going to memorize God's word, these are three things that you're going to learn about God, that you're going to reverence God because he's omnipresent. God's word will begin to teach you that God is not just in a book. He's omnipresent. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then he's omnipotent. God, you're powerful and your word is powerful. So you're omnipotent God. I want to know this God who's omnipotent. I want to obey his word. And this God who's omniscient, this God who's all-knowing. And so therefore, if I learn his word, memorize his word, I'm going to know what he wants in various circumstances. God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here's another thing. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What's the other thing that you're going to learn? You're going to spend time in God's word, and God's word is going to become practical to you, but you're going to be personally conscious that I am need him. I am helpless without him. God's word is essential for the believer because the believer realizes I'm helpless without God and his word. Jesus told the devil, you remember, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. Healthy people eat. Healthy athletes, they put them on diet. Why? Because the body needs nourishment. Your soul must be nourished by the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so therefore, there becomes a personal reliance upon God and his word. You memorize God's word, and it becomes a personal reliance. The standard as you come to Christ, and I'm sure maybe many of you have seen this week, there's a high standard that God is calling you to. But he's not calling you to climb it on your own power, because you can't. But he's calling you to depend upon him with your whole heart, that you're willing to trust him. One thing you learn as a believer, and you continue to learn it, that you are helpless apart from the power of the Spirit of God in your life. And so this psalmist realized that your word, that I might not sin against you. Why? Because he knows without God's word, and without God's word enabling him, he can't live what God wants him to live. I want you to realize that. Christianity is not a performance. It's a person who will enable you to perform in a way that glorifies God. Christ is able to make all grace abound to you, and you'll learn to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And his word will nourish your soul. And so the psalmist said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here's a practical way. I want us to turn to look at verse 33. Here's a practical way. Wallace, give me a practical way that I've memorized God's word. How can I practically apply it? Well, you, in verse 33, here's a practical way. You begin, I know you've heard, I think Mr. Nirenberg talked about having a quiet time, and Mr. Johnson have a book. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read this book on waiting on God. It's a great book on how to have a quiet time practically. But here's, in Psalm 119, verse 33, the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding that I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precept. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Here's a prayer that the psalmist given, and you can make that a personal prayer for your own heart. Look what he says. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I'll keep it unto the end. You're conscious that God can teach you and want to teach you. And I'm going to depend upon him to teach me. Teach me your word, O Lord. Not only you memorize God's word, but you begin to pray God's word. Lord, teach me. These 8 verses. It's a good prayer to memorize and make it personal. Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I'll keep it unto the end. So God, who's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, that you can cry unto him, Lord, teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute. It becomes personal because God wants to teach. And you're praying his word to him because that's the passion of your heart. And then he says, give me understanding. I'll keep your law. Not only teach me, Lord, but give me understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Lord, if you give me understanding. One thing you learn about Christianity, and I know in education you have to read, and you have to, you know, you've got A brain, B brain, C brain, and some of us rejoice just to have a D brain. I know about that one. But the issue was, you depend upon your intellectual knowledge, but here the psalmist is depending upon God's ability to give him understanding. Give me understanding, Lord. Not that I have to grab it because I've got a brain, I can really grab, understand what God's saying. No, spiritual truth is revealed by the Holy Spirit. So it's not how educated you are, it's how consciously dependent you are on this other one to teach you, God himself. And so, Your spiritual growth is not limited by your academic excellence. It would be determined by your personal humility to cry to God to enable you to be all that he wants you to be. Give me understanding and I'll keep your law. Yea, I'll observe it with my whole heart. Look at his other cry. Make me to go in the way of thy commandments. Therein do I delight. You can have a desire to do what God's will. You can have a desire to go in God's ways, but you need to be conscious that I can't go. Though I desire to go, Lord, you have to enable me to go. And so the standard is high. The call is high. Your conscious helplessness is a great thing. Excuse me. Your being consciously helpless is a great thing. But then your confidence in your helper, that God who calls you to this high standard will enable you to come. Oh, so he says, make me to go in the way of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Lord, make me to go there. I delight to go there. I have a passion to go there. Then make me to go. What a prayer. 36, verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimony, not to covetousness. This is a world that's controlled by commercials. You know, you want to sell some bubble gum. Well, nowadays, for the guys, get a nice looking lady with bubble gum. Everybody want to buy the bubble gum. Or get a football player with his helmet on backward. He's a Falcon. And everybody said, well, you know, I want, and he drinks Gatorade. You better get Gatorade. Why? Because I saw that Falcon with the helmet on backward, and he's all pro. Gatorade is thing. Well, my point is, they use stupid commercials to make you buy stuff you don't need. The world will, it's they call marketing. My daughter, Brittany, was in school, and marketing, it's all, find out what people want and manipulate their emotions, and they're going to go after it. Tell them a lie, half truth, a whole lie, and they're going to go after it. Why? Because you have to market. You need to know the passion of people. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimony, not to covetousness. Don't let the world manipulate or circumstance manipulate that my heart goes to covet that which is not convenient for me, nor is it beneficial for me, nor will it help me spiritually. You have to be mindful in your day, in our day, in this country, that covetousness is a sin that the world will manipulate you with. And so the psalmist understands the weakness of his own being, and he says, incline my heart. Incline my heart. Ask God, Lord, incline my heart. And some of you may need to begin to pray that now. Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies. Not to go back and covet to follow my friends who I'm going to have to make a decision now before I leave here. Why? Because I'm going to go back to some friends who are not walking in the way of God. And I know they're not walking in the way of God. And they're going to want me to go on with them. And Lord, incline my heart to your way, that I will not follow their calling. I will not covet their friendship over friendship with Jesus. And it's a temptation. And so incline my heart to your testimony and not to covetousness. Not to that which will not enhance my heart, but will grieve you in my heart. Or will not make you honored in my heart. And then he says this, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. What a prayer, young people, to pray. There's a lot of empty, vain things. Lord, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. You begin to choose wisely in your movies that you go to at theaters. It's not that you can't go. You are, I know where that's leading. It's just vain things, and all it's doing is marketing something that's not going to help me spiritually. So it's not legally, I can't go to the movie. I can go to the movie, tell some of your friends, I can go to the movie and buy you a ticket too. Well, why aren't you going? I don't want to go to that movie. Why? Because it's not going to enhance my character in Christ. And so therefore it's not legalist. You choose what you watch because you know why you're watching it and why you don't want to watch it. And so it makes us walk intelligently. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Why? Because the Bible says, renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Christian don't walk by legalism. The Christian doesn't walk by license. The Christian walk in love. So you're not, it's not that you can't do this or I can do anything I want. No, I'm in love. My wife, she'll be coming this week, and don't any of you say she's my daughter when you see her. She's my wife. She just looked like my daughter. But I married my wife. And guess what? My heart is for her and for nobody else. And then why? So therefore, my heart is glued to her and no other person. When your heart's glued to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't want anything or anybody else to take away your affections for him. And so if this is going to bring pain to the Lord and going to grieve his spirit, I don't want it. It's not that I can't. I love the Lord, and therefore I choose not to do this. See, it's the love that you have for God. Not your love for him first, but his love for you. And therefore, he told me not to do this, and I know, I don't understand why I'm not doing it, but I know his word said don't do it. And I can trust his love. And so love will enable you to say no to that which is not pleasing to you and the loved one. Why? And so the psalmist loves God's word, and therefore he said, turn my eyes from beholding vanity. Verse 37, quicken thou me in thy way. You'll pray, Lord, quicken me in your way. Turn my eyes. It's not just the negative, it's the positive. Quicken me in your way. It's not that we just, well, I don't do this. You know, a lot of people, I don't do this, I don't go to TV, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, what do you do? See, the Christian, now what we don't do, here's what we do. We glorify God in our bodies and spirit, which are his. I choose not to do this. Why? I remember when I was converted, and there was some group I used to hang out. We played pool, and I wish I would have said drank Kool-Aid, but it wasn't Kool-Aid. But we would do, and then when I got converted, I quit. I still play pool, but I quit doing these things. Why? And they said, why can't you have one with us? I said, well, it doesn't glorify God, and I'm a Christian now, and my body's temple. Well, don't preach to us. Well, you asked me why. The Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. It's not that I couldn't do it. I could. I had the same mouth. I just had a different passion. And so don't be one, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. I choose not to do this because I belong to Christ. And God will give you a pulpit on the playground. Why? Because now you're walking in a way and your heart's inclined unto his testimony. And therefore, when they ask you why you don't, you can give them a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and lowliness. And in doing that, God may give you opportunity to share with them how you came to know this one who have satisfied your soul. Your life will give a witness, and then you'll be able to give a word of witness when they ask you. Be ready to always give a hope that's within you. And so verse 38. Well, verse 37, one more point there. And quicken thou me in thy way. You know, if you're going to walk the Christian life, it's a joyous thing, as you heard from Mr. Newberg. It's a joyous thing. And you want God to quicken you. You know, how many of you maybe you've seen a person in your youth group? Oh, they're so sad to be a Christian. Well, I got to serve the Lord. Oh, please, prune face. Move down the road. Is it that bad? I mean, if that's what it, I mean, if you got to carry a log on your back for Christ, you're not pilgrim. You know, you're pilgrim before you get to the cross. You know, pilgrim on the cross, get the load off your back, brother. To walk with Christ is to walk in freedom. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. See, Christianity sets you free. It's not that you got to. You're not, well, you know, I'm trying to serve Jesus. I'm getting there. You know, well, I'm turning to get to heaven. You know, I really want to go to heaven. Yeah. Why are you going? Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, that's, you know. If you're coming to Christ because you don't want to go to hell, you didn't come to Christ. You come to Christ not because you're afraid of hell. You come to Christ because you don't want sin. Jesus didn't come to save you from hell. He came to save you from your sin. And if he saved you from your sin, you're going to hell whether you want to or not. And you're going to heaven whether you like it or not, if you're saved. You see my point? It's not a place that he came to take you to. It's a person. And in that person, you'll be in a place, heaven's going to be glorious. Why? Because the Lamb is there. And so Christianity is an intimacy with a person. It's not a legal system of you trying to glorify God with all your frowns and grunts. How do you know, Wallace? I've got a lot of men that's doing that. You know, they're Christian in the marketplace. How do they know they're Christian? Man, we don't do this. So they're so strong. They're just strong. Well, you know, I'm going to be a strong Christian in the business world. And I'm saying, you're strong stature in a Christian Lord, because your Christianity is not alive. It's just standing without life. Don't be a Christian without life. Christ came that you might have what? Life. And have it how? More abundantly. It's a joyous life. Not that you're trying to find joy in this life. The joy of your life is Christ. Christ is your joy. You've been set free from the wages of sin. You've been given liberty in Christ. You have a purpose for living. You have the power to live. And you have a person in whom you walk with every day. The wonderful thing that you have every day, the day you can walk with your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He wasn't your shepherd yesterday and tomorrow. He is. So it's present tense, a wonderful Savior, present tense. So the psalmist is crying. Why? Because he's dealing with a God who's ever present with him. Turn my eyes from beholding vanities and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Lord, establish your word who is devoted to reverence for God. Young people, reverence God with all your being. Establish your word who's devoted to your reverence. You walk in reverence with a God so that others might see that the God you serve is worthy of praise and honor and glory. Lord, I'm devoted to your fear. I'm devoted to reverence you. I'm devoted to glorify you in my body and spirit, which are yours. That I want you to be glorified in my body and spirit, however that might look. That my mind want to be renewed by truth. That your will is going to be strengthened by truth. And you want your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you want God to be honored in your body. And therefore, there are certain things that you won't do with your body. Why? Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you want your body to honor God. Oh, Lord, I want to honor you with my body. And therefore, there's words you won't use. Got to teach you how to use your tongue. There are things that you want, mind you won't think. I don't want to think on that. I don't want to dwell on these things. Why? Because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to learn how to use my body in such a way that it gives reverence to God. You're not a person under legalism. You're a person who is intimate love. You found a husband. You're married to Jesus Christ. And your intimacy with him is that you want to please him. And your body is all for him. This body was created by God. And now I've been born again. And now this vessel, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That men, your brothers and sisters, your friends could see God in a man. God in a woman, God in a boy, God in a girl, God, Christ in you, glorifying himself through you because you're different. You're a stranger. You're an alien. You're from another country. Why? Because you're citizenship in heaven. And what are you here? You're ambassadors for Christ. This is not your home. You're not living to live here on earth. You're living to leave. Why? Because you're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Pilgrim progress. Pilgrim was living for Vanity Fair. He's going through Vanity Fair. He's not got time. He don't have time to for their parties or their particular things. He's headed out. He's headed out. So you realize you're not living for earth. You're headed home. And you're here on business matter. Why? You're an ambassador for Christ. Why? Because God has reconciled you to himself, and you here, you have a ministry of reconciliation telling people, be ye reconciled to God. Because God have made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what you are at your school, in your college, in your community, in your church. Yea, for some of you, in your own family. You're an ambassador for Christ there. And so the psalmist is saying, establish thy word to thy servant who's devoted to thy fear, devoted to his reverence. And then he says, verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. You know, it's one to think about this, that when you read things in the scripture, you may not understand it all, but you realize God said it. His judgments are what? Good. It's good. God's judgments are good. I remember when I was young, my parents didn't ask me what I thought about certain things. My dad would say, boy, just do what I say. You'll understand it better by and by. Or I'll give you something to help you with your by and by. What am I saying? God's judgments are good. You need to realize when God says something, it's good. You don't have to understand it to make it good. It's good whether you're understanding or not. Just do it. You'll feel better after. And so the psalmist, Lord, your judgments are what? They're good. And you can tell it, taste and see that the Lord is what? It's good. You who are saved, it's good to be saved. If you know what it means to be lost, it's good. God's judgments are good. We as believers, you need to realize and let others know that God's judgments are good. This is not legalism. What God says in his word for me, it's good. It's a good thing to obey God. It's a good thing to walk in God's ways. It's a good thing to adjust your life. It's good. And if God's judgment is not good to you as a believer, how do you think you're going to get your unbelieving associate to think it's good? So if it's not good to you, don't think that you can witness to someone because they don't want anything that's bad. If Christianity is making you a prune, please, they would say, I'm not interested in prune juice. And I'm not saying be bubbly. I'm just saying God's judgments are what? Good. And David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. I have shared with young people, and I'll share with you today, because I believe it's true. It's better to be in the lion's den in the will of God than in the king's palace. Because Daniel was able to sleep in the lion's den and the king couldn't sleep in his palace. So it's not where you are, it's who you're with. It's better to be in a storm in the will of God than to be in a peaceful place out of the will of God. You have to realize, it's not where you are, it's who you're with. It was better for Joseph to go to prison than to go into the bedroom with his employer's wife. He chose to go to prison. But God was with him in prison. See, it's not where you are. Everybody said, well, if I do this, I'm going to lose friends. Hallelujah. But you won't lose Jesus. See, choices, the issue is, what will happen to you if you don't do what God says? That's the fearful thing. So it's always good to do what God says. And the consequences will always be good for you. Think about it. It's better to be rejected by your friends and have peace with God than to lose the joy of the Lord because you're walking with some friends for a couple of hours and your spirit is grieved. So God's judgments are what? Are good. Good. And you must know that. So the psalmist was saying, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Are good. And then he says, behold, I have longed after thy precept. Quicken me in thy righteousness. There's a longing. Many of you are going to leave here this week with a deeper longing to know the Lord. a deeper desire to grow in Christ. And some of you going for the first time have come to know Christ. And there's going to be a longing to grow. And I mean, you're going to say, Lord, quicken me in thy righteousness. Lord, quicken me. I'm sluggish because I'm new in Christ. Quicken me. See, these are cries of a person who's sincerely and serious about walking with the Lord. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By asking God to teach him his word. How can a young person cleanse their way? By asking God to give me understanding that I might observe your law. How can a young person cleanse their way? By asking God to make me go in the way of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. How can a young person cleanse his way? By asking God to turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. How should a young person cleanse his way? By asking God, Lord, establish thy servant in your word, who's devoted to your fear. How can a young person cleanse their way? Asking God, Lord, turn away my eyes turn away my reproach, which I fear thy judgments are good. How can a young person cleanse their way? By saying, Lord, I have longed after thy precept. Quicken me in your righteousness. Lord, quicken me in your righteousness. Blessed art thou, verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. The psalmist is saying this. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We heard about Tom Walton on the other day, and he was a worshiper. At a young age, he became a worshiper. Lord, you bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You can say, on all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, you can say, tell your soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. And young people, there's times you're going to get in difficult places. You got to speak to your soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Get up from being sad. You ain't got time to be in sad city. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you worried about what your friends think? O my soul, get up. Let's go walk with Jesus. Speak to your soul sometime. Why? Don't let your soul carry you. Speak to your soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. What a friend you have in what? Jesus. Speak to your soul. David sometime had to speak to his soul. Why? Because you'll get in the valley. You're going to go through the valley. You know why I know you're going to go through the valley? And I'm going to go through the valley. You know why? Because the path of righteousness always, always, always lead through the valley and the shadow of death. But you're not fearing evil. The Lord's with you. The path of righteousness. If you're going to go in the path of righteousness, it will lead you through the valley and the shadow of death. But you don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because the Lord's with you. He'll prove to you in the valley, I promise never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. It's in the valley that you learn that he'll meet you there. So the path of righteousness will always lead through the valley and the shadow of death. But you don't fear any evil. Why? Because the Lord's with you. And you're not going to go in the valley. You're going to go through the valley. Why? Why are you going to go through the valley? Because he prepared a place of fellowship. He's going to anoint your head with oil. He's going to groom you for glory. Your cup's going to run over. And surely, goodness and mercy will be following you all the days of your life. And I've shared with some groups, one day, goodness and mercy are going to catch up with us, should the Lord tarry. And goodness and mercy, when they catch up with you, you know what's going to happen? He's going to take you into glory, and you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, right, don't worry about your past. Goodness and mercy got your back. When they catch up with you, you'll know it. Why? Because they're going to take you into the presence of the Lord, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So forget about your past. Goodness and mercy has that. Look unto Jesus today and every day. And they say, O Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. He longs to do that. So make that prayer. Memorize those verses and make God's promises a prayer from your heart. He longs to prove to you that his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The psalmist wanted to walk in intimacy with a God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, and personally want to reveal himself to all whose heart are fully open to him. Let's pray together. Father, we give thanks for this high calling that you've called us into fellowship with your Son, and your grace is sufficient. Thank you for these young men and women, those whom you have longed to draw deeper. And so I pray that you would continue to seal your word to their heart, their mind, strengthen them by their spirit, quicken them according to your word, glorify yourself in their bodies and spirit, which are there, which are yours. May they experience all that you want them to experience in your Son, that you might be glorified in the very details of their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.